Grace, mercy, and peace be with you this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What images come to mind when you think about the meaning of a king? Yours is probably one who lives in a castle, feasts on sumptuous food, and wears only the finest clothes. So why this talk about kings? Well, if you listen to our gospel reading for this day, the image of kings finds a prominent place. And so as we study our text for this Feast of Epiphany of our Lord, let us consider kings of two very different sorts. The first king we will look at is King Herod. History tells us that he ruled over much of the land of Israel. And not unlike our image of a king, Herod undoubtedly feasted on fine food and wore only the finest garments. But while Herod may have looked good on the outside, what lied beneath the surface was anything but good. While Herod imposed ridiculous taxes which led to the oppression of his own people, our lesson hints at something far worse, his murderous tendencies. Matthew records that wise men from the east, upon seeing the star of the king of the Jews, have followed it to the land of Israel, all the way to Jerusalem, because they want to find the one for whom many have waited in great expectation. They ask the court of Herod where this child is to be found, but Herod does not appreciate this most unwelcome news. For, like most kings, Herod's only interest is in preserving his own power and control. A new king could lead to Herod's undoing. That's why our text says, with good reason, when Herod the king heard about this, about a newborn king of the Jews, he was troubled. So what is Herod's next move? Well, Herod knows nothing about the word of God, and quite honestly, he could care less about it. That is, until the plans of God seem to interrupt his own plans. So Herod is forced to ask the chief priests and the scribes where the Christ is to be born. When they tell him from the prophet Micah that the Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem, he does not rejoice at what should be good news of great joy, but instead begins to scheme. Which is why when this news is relayed to the wise men, he tells them, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." But Herod has no intentions on worshiping this child. The only reason he wants to know the child's whereabouts is so he can have the child killed. Unfortunately, history has shown that this type of behavior is not uncommon. Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, Queen Mary I, Vladimir Lenin, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler. No, they weren't officially kings, but these people have gone down in history as some of the most ruthless rulers of all time. People who would have stopped at nothing to retain their power and control. You and I are blessed, aren't we? We live in a time and in a country where we don't have to worry that our leaders would do such things. But that doesn't mean they're perfect either. How many times have we looked at a candidate that's running for some leadership office, local, state, or national, and tried to convince ourselves that maybe it will be different this time? Maybe this person will really do good and just and right. But as time progresses, we find out this person embezzled money, had an inappropriate relationship, has a habitual problem with drugs or alcohol. Once what was so promising has become just another disappointment. A cycle that we've seen repeated over and over and over again. Yet we bring it on ourselves when we continue to put our hope in the kings of this world. So who then should we put our hope in? In our gospel lesson, the wise men are traveling to Bethlehem to find the king of the Jews. The big difference is, this king is not a king like those of this world. When the wise men arrive, they don't find a castle with the royal family feasting sumptuously, nor do they find those dressed in regal attire with unending wealth. What they find is a very poor family in quite mundane circumstances. They find a carpenter with a young woman and a child, who probably didn't at all look that different from other poor children of that time. But still they know that this child is different, because he is the Christ child, the one whom God has sent to redeem his people Israel, and to be light unto the Gentiles. And so the wise men show their wisdom by worshiping the child, because he is God in the flesh, come to rule us better than any earthly king ever will. And they give him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This royal family is going to need these things because Herod does not revere this child. He hates him. In due time, he will search for this child and try to kill him. What we know and commemorate on December 28th as the Holy Innocents. The gifts that are given will sustain this royal family on their journey to Egypt, so that the life of the Christ child might be preserved a little while longer. His appointment time has not yet come, although it will. For while under the rule of Herod and other bad kings, the people may have been oppressed, all of mankind is under even a far worse tyranny, and that is sin. And yes, while good kings may have come after Herod and tried to undo some of his evil deeds, there has never been, or there never will be, an earthly king who will be able to save us from our sins and the consequence it brings, death. It is for that reason this child is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is God with us, come to save us from this broken, dying world and the sinfulness of our flesh. He has come not to be served and to make himself powerful, but rather to serve all others by making himself nothing. The perfect Christ child, who is a very different sort of king from the kings of the earth, is in fact our salvation. And he has accomplished this not with wealth and worldly power, but by humbling himself by hanging from a tree, where he has given up his own life for the citizens of his kingdom. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has done this for us, we have no need any longer to trust and hope in the kings of this world. What can they offer us that is greater than that which is given by the King of Kings? Can they save us from our sins? Can they fix this broken world? Can they even keep themselves from sinning? Of course not, which is why we look to Christ for our ultimate hope and comfort. It is why our joy comes from him and not from the world. And it is why we revel in the Christ child this Epiphany, because God in Jesus has revealed an everlasting kingdom of which we are now part, and not even the devil himself can take us from it. In the name of Jesus, Amen.